Number 02-2730. Ms. Wagy against the INS.
May it please the court, I'm Godfrey Mwangi, and I'm counsel for the petitioner. We have filed a petition for review of the decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals, which dismissed petitioner's administrative appeal to it without opinion. The Board of Immigration Appeals elected that the decision of the immigration judge be its own decision in this case, and we had presented an appeal to that board concerning the legal standards which the immigration judge applied to petitioner's case, which we disagreed with. Mr. Mwesige came to the United States in 1994 and applied for asylum. In 1997, he was interviewed by the Immigration and Naturalization Service, which referred his application for asylum to the immigration judge. The immigration judge heard the case over a series of sittings, taking testimony and then seeking an opinion of an advisory nature from the Department of State regarding what kind of group Mr. Mwesige had been a member of that he referred to as a cadre group in his home country, and the Department of State was not able to define it. However, at the final hearing before the immigration judge, Mr. Mwesige presented evidence that indeed there was such a group, that the president of the country had referred to it in official speeches several times and had actually referred to individuals, including a major general in the army, as member of that group. It appears that Mr. Mwesige may have been a member of a paramilitary wing of that country's army, or may have been a member of the army itself. That issue is not resolved. However, the immigration judge, based upon that, we believe, and based upon the testimony by Mr. Mwesige, that he had come in contact with a general in the army, concluded that his claim was implausible because in the United States, an orderly who is as low as Mr. Mwesige seemed to have been could not have made contact with a general.
He was working as the general's orderly, was he not?
He was, Your Honor, and that's precisely part of our contention that...
And the immigration judge thought that a general who had a dissident orderly might not do something to get rid of that dissident orderly?
I believe that's what the immigration judge concluded.
I guess we don't know whether the immigration judge ever served in the Army, huh?
I beg your pardon, Your Honor?
We don't know whether this immigration judge ever served in the Army, do we?
We don't know, Your Honor. And, Your Honor, that is exactly why we appeal the decision, because the immigration judge's application of the definition of persecution was itself in error, because Mr. Mwesige had been detained on four different occasions, one of which he was in solitude for a couple of weeks, was stripped naked, doused with cold water, and beaten. And the immigration judge concluded that that wasn't persecution, it was punishment for insubordination.
Is there any evidence in this record that your client participated in any sort of human rights atrocities?
No, Your Honor. In fact, the evidence is the opposite, that part of the reason he was punished was because in one of the rounds that his unit made, he was ordered by a senior member to rape a 15-year-old woman, and he refused to do that, resulting in his being punished.
So your characterization is that he turned out to be a dissident in this cadre group, while the State Department tries to drop a dime on him and say basically he's guilty because he was in the group.
That is correct. The advisory opinion questioned whether he himself had committed human rights abuses.
The State Department had absolutely no knowledge of your client's personal activities, am I correct?
They do not, in their letter to the immigration judge, state so, Your Honor.
Sir, even with all with all of these, shall we say, lapses in the INS procedure in this thing, still have to deal with the fact that when he your client finally walked away from this crowd, apparently got on pretty well in Uganda for quite a while before he showed up on our doorstep. Left the country, came back several times. Doesn't that sort of take the wind out of your sails with respect to arguing that he was either persecuted then or has a fair expectation of being persecuted when if he's sent back?
Your Honor, it might if you're only looking at the conclusions made by the immigration judge. If you review the complete record and the testimony in the record, I believe the immigration judge's decision distorts the record. The record shows that Mr. Mwesige was in detention on four different occasions between the period 1988 and 91. When he got out, contrary to the immigration judge's conclusion that he was detained in an unlocked room and was able to walk away freely, at the end of his detention, Mr. Mwesige was apparently trusted enough to be assigned to chores. Anybody who had chores in that unit could assign him to chores, and he was trusted to go back to his detention room after performing that chores. And his testimony, I believe, Your Honor, was that the soldiers had gotten so used to seeing him around that they didn't really pay attention to him as much as they paid attention to other detainees, and that is how he was able to walk out. I don't believe, Your Honor, that this record establishes that anybody freed him, but even assuming that someone did free him, there is no evidence that he was ever charged with any crime, court-martialed, or tried in a court of law. And I believe that whatever happened to him, whatever you call it, it was not legitimate, and it should be characterized as persecution because of his dissension and because he was persecuted in the past. He's entitled to a presumption of a well-founded fear of future persecution, and the burden then shifts to the government to rebut that presumption. And in this case, we don't believe the government even came close because country condition reports continue to report political turmoil and the persecution of people who are dissidents or considered by the government to be dissidents in that country.
Before you sit down, can you clear up this name situation here that the government says that there's not his real name?
Your Honor, the
your view on that?
The petitioner in his testimony testified, and contrary to the immigration judge's inference that he may not have volunteered that identity issue, the record contains his driver license, his birth certificate, and he himself volunteered the information that yes, he had obtained what is a legal passport, but using a name which is a variation on his name, which is really his uncle's name, and this was the only way that he could have gotten out of the detention of this government and attempted to go to a neighboring country to seek refuge. But unfortunately, that country was hostile to refugees from this gentleman's home country. And so in those circumstances, because he volunteered that information and provided other evidence to support the conclusion of what his true identity is, I do not believe that in this case there was any showing that he hadn't disclosed his true identity or that we don't know who he really is. I believe that was proven on the record, Your Honor.
Thank you, sir. We'll hear now from Ms. Blitzes.
May it please the Court. My name is Ephemia Polisis, and I represent the respondent. I represent the respondent, Attorney General John Ashcroft, in this matter. The petition for review must be denied in this case because substantial evidence supports the agency's decision that the petitioner failed to establish eligibility for asylum, withholding of removal, and protection under the Torture Convention. Petitioner was not able to demonstrate eligibility for asylum because he was found to be not credible, he could not establish past persecution, and he could not establish a well-founded fear of future persecution. Petitioner's claims of past persecution were found to be not credible because his claim of torture was found to be untrue, and his use of a false name undermined his credibility. However, assuming that petitioner was found to be credible, the evidence in the record does not suggest that petitioner's claims rise to the level of persecution. Persecution is severe punishment. Petitioner was not able to demonstrate that he was disciplined for anything more than insubordination. He cannot show that what happened to him was more than punishment for disobeying an order. Therefore, since petitioner cannot demonstrate past persecution, he must demonstrate a well-founded fear of future persecution to be eligible for asylum. Petitioner claims that he fears for future persecution are not objectively reasonable. There's no showing in the record that ISO civilians who walk away from the ISO are persecuted. Petitioner lived in Uganda for a period of time without any problems after he left the ISO. Moreover, there is evidence in the record that former high-ranking officials from Uganda are returning to the country without incident. Therefore, since petitioner is unable to demonstrate a well-founded fear of future persecution, the petitioner is unable to establish asylum eligibility. It follows that since the petitioner cannot meet the lower burden of asylum, he cannot establish the higher burden for withholding of removal and protection under the Torture Convention. In conclusion, because the evidence does not compel the conclusion that petitioner suffered past persecution or a well-founded fear of future persecution, the court must deny the petition for review.
Thank you, counsel. Sir, I believe your time had expired as well, so we thank both counsel for their presentations today. The case will be taken under advisement.